Welcome to our podcast, Healthy Brain Banter. This is a podcast created by a team of nursing students to bring you accurate and reliable information about mental health. In this episode, we will be discussing the links between maternal health and mental health. We know that pregnancy and postpartum periods can be very difficult to navigate for new parents, and we want to provide education on what to expect. In this interview, we will be talking to Lisa Smith, a NICU nurse, about how her experience in this field has taught her about mental health-related topics regarding pre- and postpartum periods. Lisa Smith has been a NICU nurse at a local hospital for 25 years. She has a Bachelor of Science degree in nursing from BYU Idaho and also teaches neonatal resuscitation programs to staff required to go on deliveries. Her experience as a mother of four and a grandma of one has helped her to see the other side of the birthing process, including the mental health aspects and possible unmet expectations. Her ability to listen with empathy and teach with compassion helps her to connect with new moms and dads and guide them on their baby's journey, which may be completely different from what they had planned. She also traveled to Zambia with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in their Women's and Children's Service Program to help teach midwives about the program of helping babies breathe. Lisa's intense passion for maternal and neonatal well-being makes her a great advocate for this at-risk population. Lisa, we are so excited to have you on our podcast today, and we can't wait to hear from you.
Allison, thank you so much. I am really excited to get this information out to a much needed group of new mommies.
We like to ask this question to all our podcast guests, so we will start off with it. What is the best tool in your life for creating a healthy mind?
So I've been thinking about that, and I think for me, it's staying positive no matter what the situation is. We all have ups and downs. We all have struggles and trials. And so for me, it's trying to take that silver lining out of either the poor choice I made or something bad that has happened to me or a loved one or a catastrophic event that I've come across in my life or in my career. And, you know, it's not always positive in life. Things aren't always happy, but you can take a good lesson away from it. You can figure out how this can make you stronger, what you can learn from it going forward, and what you would do different to maybe get a better outcome. And then teach others around you and try to keep that positivity going and pass it forward.
For sure. That is awesome. We are super excited about our topic today, and you have had a lot of experience caring for NICU babies. Can you describe what that is like for parents?
Sure, Allison. So I have watched for 25 years and experienced four babies of my own. Parents come into the birthing process with a plan. Some people even come with a 7 to 10 page written plan where they've researched and they want to have it a specific way so that they connect with their baby and with their spouse. And it's this just utopia, beautiful, calm event. Yeah. And that would be wonderful in an ideal world. But we all know that things happen and babies have a mind of their own. So, you know, those normal birth expectations just fly right out the door when your baby is admitted to the NICU. So as a NICU nurse, I just try to give parents a heads up, especially if they are having a preterm baby. I get the opportunity sometimes as a charge nurse to go talk to the mom before she's actually had the baby, which is crucial in the mindset of the parents, because I can give them a game plan. Hey, the delivery is actually going to look like this. There's going to be 10 people in your delivery room. We're going to take great care of your baby and just kind of lay it out step by step. And then what the next few weeks are going to look like, because it's not going to be, I'm going to do skin to skin and breastfeed right off the get go and go home and we're just going to all take naps together. It's not going to be like that. So kind of giving them a game plan and lowering their perfect expectations to a more realistic view of having a preterm baby, I feel like is my job. And then as they have their baby in the NICU, talking to them daily, hey, how are you feeling? What are you going through? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you doing this? Because a lot of them still then put this expectation, I need to be with my baby every minute of the day. Well, you're not even in a hotel. You're in a hospital, and say your baby's born 12 weeks early. That's not a realistic expectation for you to stay 3 months in a hospital, especially if you have other children at home. So kind of stepping through that journey with them and helping them stay mentally healthy and navigating what they can accept and what they can't, what they can control and what they can't, so that they can have a positive experience in a very uncontrolled negative event in their life. So they can come away feeling empowered that they do have some control over their baby's care, but that they can stay healthy for everyone in their life and for themselves and for their baby. A lot of times they also have the fear of losing their baby. Could you imagine coming to the hospital every day, worried that your baby is going to die every day, every day? And some of those really teeny micro preemies, that is a real fear. That's a real reality. And so getting social work involved, talking to the spouse, talking to their family members, and reminding them there is a support group. There are people here for you. Be honest with your feelings. Be honest with us. Come to the bedside, but only do what you can handle, you know? Then also pointing out positive things that I see the baby doing. Positive things that I see when they show up. The baby is responding this way. Look how stable their oxygen is. Look how happy they are. Look how sleepy and a good state of sleep they are when you hold them. Those things that only you can do as a parent helps empower them and make them feel like they are the parent. They're just not looking through this glass bubble at their baby. And that's crucial, because they're basically giving up their rights to take care of their baby to these strangers. And that's a really hard spot to be in, especially when you've had this perfect birth plan.
Yes. Yeah.
And then whoop, it's gone.
Yeah. Wow. That is so amazing. And I love the education that you're able to provide to parents, because especially beforehand, because that allows them to have some expectations of what the process will be like for them. Right. So that's amazing.
It's pretty much a limbo land. Could you imagine going through this kind of really tough event, not having an end in sight? Like, you can do something hard for a week or maybe a month, maybe 2 months. If somebody gives you a deadline, okay, I can get through this semester of school. I can get through this pregnancy. I can, you know, whatever. But if you never have a deadline, you never know. And you just know, okay, my baby has to hit these milestones before they can go home. But how long is that going to take and everything? It's a tough place to be in. And really focusing on the mom trying to take care of herself and the couple. We always say the mom. The dad is very crucial to the mom's health and the baby's health. Yeah. So we try to focus on both parents and trying to keep them mentally healthy and close together as a couple.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So our next question is, what tips do you have regarding the birthing process and breastfeeding? Breastfeeding and the birthing process can be a very personal decision, but we'd love for you to share your thoughts on these topics.
Right. So like I said, a lot of women come in with this beautiful birth plan. And that's great. But know in the back of your mind, ultimately, what needs to happen is a safe delivery and keeping your baby alive, whether that's a C-section that you did not want or an epidural that you did not want, or a NICU admission that you did not want. So having backup plans, I always say, is a good idea. And talking about that ahead of time with your spouse. I never did that. I was 22 when I first had my baby. I knew nothing. I wasn't a nurse. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is what we did. We never talked about, what am I going to do? When am I going to go back to work? Am I going to be a full-time work mom, a full-time stay-at-home mom? Having those conversations, I think, before you have the baby is not crucial, but very helpful in maintaining a good relationship and good coping skills and good mental health. So my other tip would be to leave the mom guilt way out for a couple of years, because a lot of times moms will think something they did caused their baby to be sick or caused their baby to be born early. And that is not the case. Short of, mainlining cocaine or something like that. But nothing that the mom has done has caused her to have high blood pressure, has caused her placental abruption, has caused this baby to come early or to be sick or have respiratory distress. So, kind of reassuring mom, that this is not her fault. There is nothing she could have done before. She is a good mom. This doesn't mean anything on her parenting skills, which you'd think, oh yeah, you should know that. You get in that place and hormones are going crazy. You just had a baby. You can't just hold her or him and love them and do everything for them. And so kind of reassuring them over and over that it's not their fault. You'll have enough mom guilt later when they're teenagers. So leave that away when they're first born. And then again, just have that backup plan that the staff at the hospital is just wanting to keep you and your baby safe. And so they're not trying to go against your wishes. They just really want to do everything we can to get your baby safe and home to you.
Yeah. Wow. That's so powerful. And how about breastfeeding?
So breastfeeding, like you said, is very individual. And every mama comes with their own experience, their own background, their own dreams and visions. Maybe their mom breastfed all the kids in their family and that's what they do. Or maybe they never did. Or maybe they've done all this research and they think they will only have brilliant children if they're breastfed. So they come with an idea and it usually is linked highly to how good of a parent they are as to how successful they are at breastfeeding. And you take into account a premature baby or a NICU baby or even a full-term baby that is just a stinker at breastfeeding, which happens all the time. And then they take it personal and they're devastated or their milk supply doesn't come in, which is also a common thing too. And they try and they try and every energy and emotion is spent all day long on producing milk, which stress can actually decrease milk production. So I would say have a plan. That's great. Again, have a backup plan. Formula fed babies are not dumb babies.
Yeah.
And the best baby is a fed baby. So sometimes it's a combination. Sometimes it's just a combination of breastfeeding and formula feeding until your milk comes in. But I have known many women also who struggle with postpartum depression and the stress of trying to produce milk and trying to breastfeed this baby. And then they get clogged ducts, mastitis, you know, cracked nipples. And it's a horribly painful experience, makes their depression worse and they can't sleep. And it just is this cycle of negativity. And they don't even want to pick up their baby. So I think having an open conversation with your spouse and yourself of this is what I would love, this picture of breastfeeding. But if this happens and this happens, what can I tolerate? What can I do? Am I okay to just pump and give colostrum and give breast milk? Of course you are. But then don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel like you're a horrible mother. Your baby will love you no matter what. Even if you had no breasts, Your baby would love you. So it's that mentality of, I think we put on ourselves as women, that we have to do it all and be the perfect, have the perfect birth, be a perfect breastfeeder, have the perfect baby that sleeps. And if they don't, it's all our fault. It's not, It's not. And then just being open and honest with yourself, with your spouse, or if you can't, with your spouse, with a support person, a grandma, a mom, a friend, somebody, so that you can get realistic feedback if you're going off the deep end.
Yeah. Wow. That's so, so helpful and such great information. And just a question that's been on my mind is, what have you noticed between mother and father relationships that have helped them maybe strengthen their relationships instead of causing challenge? Because sometimes challenges between their kids or between their marriage can result in being closer together or going farther apart. So what have you noticed in couples that's...
Yeah, that is a very good point, Allison. So stress, right, in any aspect in a marriage can drive you farther apart or bring you together. And having a NICU baby is tough, especially a preemie NICU baby. There are statistics that 40 to 50% of those couples end in divorce because some of those babies end up high needs, special needs, just are 100% total care through their life. So you know, let's just take not the the worst case scenario, but just having a regular NICU experience of a month, let's say. The parents that can talk about feelings and emotions and maybe put their phones down and turn to each other and hug each other and be there for each other, usually can make it through that. The ones that can look out for each other, instead of, well, this is what I need. You need to do this for me always, which is hard to do when you're very emotional and you feel out of control, whether you're the mom or the dad. I love to see daddies just dote on their mom, the wives, you know, what can I get you? Here's a pillow. Here's a drink. Here's your granola bar. Here's this. Oh, yeah. You look beautiful. The compliments and everything. Aww. So sweet. But then I also have to remind the moms, you have a good one. You have a good husband. Remember to take care of him. Remember to do something together every day. Take 5 minutes without TV, without phones, where you guys can just sit and talk and hold hands and look at each other in the eyes and connect, because there are so many things pulling at them in society anyway. The fact that maybe they're out, they can't work now and the mom was a breadwinner, or whatever it is, the dad then has to go back to work and the mom's stressed because she can't take herself to the hospital because she had a C-section, whatever it is, sit down and talk about it. And no blaming, no accusing, but hey, let's create a plan. And then complimenting, you know, we all love a little pep talk, a little cheerleader in our corner. And if you can just remember to be kind every day, which isn't a big ask, but it might be if you're really stressed and maybe that's not your personality. Yeah. But that's my recommendation to any parent who even is in the pregnancy phase, is take a couple minutes every day and sit down and connect with your spouse. Put the phone away. And even at the bedside in the NICU, sometimes I've just watched as mobile devices and laptops, and some people have to do work at the NICU, but if you can sit down and connect with each other and put the phones away for a couple minutes and have a discussion and, hey, how are you feeling? And what can I do for you today? Or whatever, each spouse, that really strengthens relationships and makes that experience that much more positive and their relationship stronger. I would also say to encourage more sleep. I think growing up, our years of having babies, you just had baby after baby, you went without sleep. It was just a thing. We didn't have social media to know, hey, everyone's exhausted. We just thought that's what you did. And nowadays, the mamas are on social media constantly, looking at pictures of moms that just had babies and they're back in their beautiful skinny jeans or whatever, all dolled up, and everyone's just perfect house and everything. I would say that's not reality. That is one picture out of maybe a week in their life that they're posting.
Yeah.
So I would say limit your social media and realize everybody has crappy moments in the day. Everybody has crappy days, and don't feel like you have to put on a front all the time. If you need to not take a shower for a day, that's fine. Don't put makeup on for a day. That's fine too. You can have a messy house if things do not need to be perfect. And that's a hard thing to do for people nowadays, is to let go of control. Yeah. And, but a messy or clean house is not going to help your baby get better. It might help your mental state. Some people like a clean house to stay organized, and I totally get that.
Yeah.
You know, reach out to your family or see if grandma wants to hire, you know, a maid to come in. Uh-huh. You just use your resources, reach out for that. Yeah. Getting outside, going for a walk, you know, if you can't, because the weather's bad, walking around the hospital, or, you know, if your baby's not in the NICU, go to a mall, take a walk. I think breaking up that continuous cycle of breastfeed, crying baby, no sleep, breastfeed, crying baby, no sleep, with no end in sight for months, or a colicky baby, it's rough. Yeah. So if you can break that up with some walking outside or doing something that makes you happy, dad and mom, I think that's huge in keeping mental health at an all-time high.
That's awesome. And social media has been a big contributor to postpartum depression here in Utah. postpartum depression can be 1 in 4 women. And so how have you helped mothers and fathers deal with postpartum anxiety and depression? Because this isn't just something that could affect the mother. It could be something that could affect the father as well. And so what have you noticed in both of their roles, and how can they maintain a healthy mind during that difficult time?
Yeah, Allison, it's getting to be, I would almost call it an epidemic of depression in our society. You add on those unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
And then they're not met. And the depression, maybe the mom struggled beforehand. I think 25 years ago when I started, I was talking to a fellow nurse the other day. We used to see maybe 1 in 10 moms on antidepressants, maybe, you know. And nowadays, I would guess, I don't know right off the top of my head, but at least half or more of moms delivering are on antidepressants. So that tells me the stress level of what is going on. And those moms may definitely need them, but they also probably need to work on coping skills.
Yeah.
And what they can do along with medication to stay healthy. So postpartum depression, when you have your baby in the hospital, the mom baby nurse that cares for you gives you a little assessment to see where you're at. They talk and teach about postpartum depression, and they usually try to talk to the dad, make sure the dad is there too when they're doing the teaching, because a lot of times we've all known depressed people that don't know they're depressed. Or that won't admit it. They're in denial, right? Yeah, I'm just off. I don't feel myself, but
something's,
it's fine.
Wrong.
Exactly. And so it's crucial to have an outside person looking in. And so to have those tools in place for that dad to see what signs and symptoms are of postpartum depression, which I think you'll probably post on your website. Like sleeplessness that doesn't have to do with the baby waking you up, you know, not finding joy in things you usually do. All those normal depression signs and symptoms are the same, but also feeling like you don't even want to be with your baby, those types of things. So, and, you know, having a baby is rough. You don't have really a lot of sleep for the first couple of weeks. So they say if those symptoms persist past 2 weeks, that is when you probably should go see a provider for some care. And that discussion with your provider could look like many different things. It doesn't mean you have to get on meds right away, but at least involving your provider so they're aware of the severity and they can check back with you. But having that dad involved, and if there is no dad, having the support person involved, the grandma, the friend, someone, that mama needs to have someone. And then also just trying really hard to focus on each other's relationship and keeping that a positive thing, not, oh, my wife is complaining every day. I don't even want to go home because I know what she's going to say. So there are a lot of resources. I'm going to just talk for a minute about the dad and what the dad can do. I'm going to let the dad know there's a few things they can do to stay mentally healthy, and then give them some tips on what to say to a postpartum depressed mom and what not to say. Because men and women are different.
Yes.
And yeah. What you think, oh, well, she should know that. Well, she doesn't know that. So the dad, you probably will need to go back to work, right? So talk to the mom about that. Reassure her. She can contact you at work, that you're not running away from her. And if she needs you to come home early, that's fine. Let's talk about that. So, but try to get a break in. This is for the dad, from work and home life. Now, I'm not saying go to the gym for 2 hours a day. I'm saying a quick little break that might be a quick game of racquetball once a week with a friend. That might be getting an ice cream with your dad or your best friend or whatever it is. So you can have that bro time, because you're going to be stressed and you feel like you are holding it together for the mom, for the baby, and you're working, you're providing, you're doing it all. And you are. Yes, you are the glue. Dads, we love you. So take care of yourself too. So I would say that, try to get just a little break in, but communicate with the mom that, hey, I'm trying to stay healthy with you too. I'm not running away from you. Yeah. All of those things. And then retain a sense of humor. Hopefully you've had one and this isn't something that you are going to need to develop, but you know, cracking jokes really lightens the air of a very stressful, tense situation. Making sure you're getting enough sleep too, while you're also trying to give your wife a break and have her good chunks of sleep, stuff like that. Setting up a safety support net for your wife. She may not be able to even figure that out when she's depressed. So talking to her, okay, who do you feel safe with when I'm at work? Is it the neighbor? Is it a friend? Can I have your mom come in for an hour a day? Who is she willing to be herself with or give the baby to for a couple hours so she can sleep? That type of thing. And put that in place. Also have the talk about when you need to talk to a professional, go to the appointment with her, have those numbers on hand. Because if you get a phone call at work and you can't run away from work, what are you going to do? So if you have those numbers of your safety net, your professional, whatever, you know, if this postpartum is pretty bad, that will take the stress off of you. You've got a plan. I'm always about, if you have a plan, you can just take a deep breath, right? So that plan. And don't put a time frame on it. I am not a depressed person, but I have a lot of depression that runs in my family, both on my husband's side and on my side. So I've watched several family members struggle for years. And I will say it is the most frustrating thing. And you can't just say, if you would just get up and work out or just stop thinking about that. Why are you even thinking about that? Yeah. That's not reality.
Yeah.
That does no good because it is their reality. So if you try not to put a time frame on it, like, okay, hopefully this will be done in 2 weeks or a month. It may take a year. Some mamas don't pull out of it, unfortunately, for a few years.
Yeah.
And some mommies become pretty depressed for a while. Yeah. So if you can just have in your back of your mind, okay, I'm not going to put a time frame on it. We're going to have some goals in place, some plans in place. What can I do every day to just have a little bit of happiness?
Yeah.
You can get through it.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And a lot of the people that listen to our podcast are nurses or nursing students. And so I think one thing that's so important that you pointed out is just being empathetic to those moms and dads and not pretending to understand that you know what they're going through, because you might not know what they're going through. You might not know how they might feel and how difficult it is for them to even get up during the day. And I just think those points are so important, especially as our society increases in depression and not being afraid to reach out for help with the resources, whether it's social work, whether it's, I've decided I can't breastfeed because it's another thing I have to do. I've decided, and not judging them for those choices, because that's a way for them to cope and for them to feel like they can really make a difference in their life for the better.
Exactly, Allison. It's hard when you have not experienced depression. And so I feel like learning about it is a great thing instead of hiding your head and being in denial. Oh, it's going to go away soon. It's going to go away soon. It won't. And you can add to it, make it worse, or you can add to it and make it better.
Yeah.
So some of the things that dads can say to help their wives would be, tell her you love her. She may not believe you. She'll say, oh, you're just saying that. Tell her she's beautiful. Tell her she's a great mom. Tell her what a great job she's doing. She will think, depressed mamas will think they're doing a horrible job and they are a horrible mama. Point out the small good things she's doing. Hey, look, the baby's not crying. Hey, look, you got a shower in today. Way to go, hun. Like, just the little things, and not with sarcasm. I'm a very sarcastic person, but genuine compliments will help. Tell her, you know, she feels horrible. You don't have to say, I know how you feel. You don't know how she don't know. Tell her this will get better. She wants to know there's some hope, right? Tell her you're with her through this process. and that you're there every step of the way and you want her to communicate with you. Because a lot of moms don't want to add more stress to the dads, right? And they know they're complaining. They know it's the same broken record every day. But to have someone who genuinely listens and looks them in the eye and then says, I know, honey, this is really hard. This is hard. I'm so sorry you're going through this. We are in this together. I got you. Tell her she can still be a good mother and feel terrible. That doesn't mean she's a horrible mother, even though she feels like crap. That's important because a lot of mamas base their sole identity on motherhood instead of two separate things. I mean, they're kind of intertwined, right? And you think, well, you should know you're still an okay person, but it's not. So reassure her. Okay. Tell her you know how hard she's working at this right now. Tell her to let you know what she needs from you. Do you need me to take care of dinner every night this week? I can order pizza like the best of them. Whatever. tell her that the baby will be fine and that the baby loves her. They worry so much that this is going to affect how they bond with their baby. You know, and I would love to say babies are smart. I mean, they are to a point, but they're not going to remember this. They're not. So encourage holding, encourage skin to skin is wonderful, even for months. That skin on skin releases hormones in the mom that helps calm and helps alleviate depression. So even though she thinks she's a bad mom and she just needs to feed and put the baby back because the baby's fussy and doesn't like her, encourage her to hold the baby skin to skin and stay there with her. Just hold them all together and help her see the positive things that she is doing for her baby.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And going along with postpartum depression, something else that's increasing is substance abuse in motherhood. And so how have you provided teaching to the parents about substance abuse and how that could have affected their baby? And what are some things you do to treat neonatal withdrawal? Because that can be really challenging as well.
You're right, Allison. So substance abuse, a lot of times in society's mind, they think is illegal or illicit drugs, right? You just think, oh, that's a substance abuse. So when we talk about a newborn withdrawing from a maternal substance, it is those things. It can also be some antidepressants. Now, it doesn't mean your baby is going to withdraw like a mom who was doing cocaine or narcotics, but they can be irritable. They can take a long time to calm down. And so teaching them, hey, this is okay. And it's not that because you did these, you had to take this drug, you made this baby like this. Yeah. It's just how to calm them because you needed those meds to be at your best. And we want you to be at your best. So don't think it's your fault. But there are also substances that moms are prescribed for chronic pain. Say they were in a car accident, shattered their pelvis years ago, and they just can't, you know, as your pelvis stretches carrying a fetus, it's excruciating. So kidney stones, there's a gamut of things that moms need to take because they're in pain or they've made poor choices. Moms that are in clinics to get off street drugs and are prescribed Suboxone or Subutex, something like that can affect the baby. And so, you know, when they're in labor, the labor and delivery nurses usually will talk to the parents about, now we're going to watch your baby for up to 72 hours for withdrawal symptoms. And so they have that heads up, but their provider that provides them either the prescription narcotic or in a clinic for the Subutex and Suboxone will talk to them about withdrawals. Those babies do usually withdraw pretty significantly and need to be admitted to our NICU for upwards of a few weeks to a month. And let me, I just want to say there again needs to be this dissipation of guilt. So as a provider, I need to not be judging the mom. I've seen some moms not care and not want to come in because they have so many issues going on. But for the most part, Mamas want to be there and do what's best for their babies, even if they are making poor choices. That maternal instinct is just overwhelming. And so it's my job as a provider to do teaching. How can you calm your baby? How is the best way for you to come visit and stay calm and quiet in this environment? So some of the signs and symptoms of a neonatal withdrawal from a maternal substance abuse would be just increased irritability, jitters, tremors, watery stools, sweaty, multiple sneezing, usually more than three sneezes in a time. So we have an inventory scoring sheet that we use for these babies. And once they hit a certain level twice, we talk to the provider about the possibility of needing to be admitted to our NICU for therapy. And we're always open and transparent with parents. We show them the inventory list. We teach them, okay, look at what your baby's doing. This is this score. When you do this, hopefully it helps. So treating them in the NICU is we give them morphine, usually just liquid oral morphine every 3 hours. And then as those symptoms start decreasing and those scores come down, then we wean. But it is a very up and down road for a lot of these babies, and it's hard to watch. And it's hard for the parents to watch. They know. And many of them have gone through withdrawals themselves, yeah, and they have so much guilt. And so the best thing I can do is teach, support, and stay positive with them, show them the positive things they are doing that help calm their baby, but also prepare them that once they're out of the hospital, it's not a done deal. Your baby's good to go. It's not going to be cranky. It is. You may need to just wear and hold your baby for 3 months, because that holding, that skin to skin really calms them. We actually have what we call snugglers at the hospital, where volunteers will come in and help hold fussy babies. They've been trained. They sit, we give them the baby in the chair when parents can't come or if the nurses can't sit with the baby. And it's that connection of the human spirit feeling a heartbeat. And that really helps too. And so that's something any parent can do, whether they're having issues or not. So I think just teaching again with all of these topics is crucial, and preparing parents ahead of time will help, because a lot of parents are like, what? They have to stay in here a month? They don't understand. And so trying to give them that explanation ahead of time helps.
For sure. That's so, so important and such great teaching you've provided us with today. Before we end our podcast, do you have any final thoughts regarding the NICU, neonatal experiences, your experience?
Allison, I would just say when you start on the process of making a baby, having a baby, you're going to have a baby, open an honest communication with your spouse or significant other or your support person of, hey, I worry about this when the baby's born. You know, I've struggled with this in the past. I worry that I might need more time to myself or more of your attention, so that when you bring the baby home, it's not like, whoa, where did this come from? I didn't know you were going to turn into this person. And then more stress and all of that. So maybe creating a date night once a week ahead of time. So, hey, your mom's in town, or we have Aunt Betty, whoever. It would be good for our relationship if we could get out for 1 hour once a week or whatever you're willing to do. Your baby will still love you if you leave it with a loved one for an hour or two. And then really paying attention to what you need as an individual, mom and dad, to maintain mental health. If you're not mentally well, the house falls apart, especially for the mama. So these mamas that are already struggling with depression and already have 2 to 3, 4 or 5 kids at home, and then they're having another one, be honest with yourself and your loved ones of what you're going to need.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need a village, right? It takes a village to raise a baby. Yeah. And take help. Let people accept help you. It. Accept it. It doesn't mean you're weak. You're a strong mama. You just pushed out a baby. Like, you got this. Yeah. But stay healthy for yourself and for those in your life that depend on you.
Yeah.
So that would be my tip. Plan, prepare, talk, and just be nice to each other.
Oh, that is so amazing. Thank you, Lisa, for joining us this week on our podcast, Healthy Brain Banter.
You are so welcome. It has been quite a fun experience to get this out and to talk to you and just help our community of new mommies and daddies stay mentally healthy.
That's awesome. And we're so thankful that you're so informative about all of these topics. Lisa has kindly provided some handouts on emotional well-being after childbirth and perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. We will post them on our Instagram as well as our website. We know that our listeners will greatly benefit from the education Lisa provided. If you are experiencing a difficult time mentally, please reach out to a trusted family, friend, or professional to receive help. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Healthy Brain Banter.